Well, good morning and welcome to our service here today. I've lost my knack. There's a few more people who are just coming in outside, and a really warm welcome, first of all, to Eddie and Hannah and Oliver on your special day, and to your families and friends. It's so lovely to see you and see familiar faces of many of you who visited us before, and it's really lovely to have you here. A welcome to those people who this is your first time back in church for 18 months, and I know there's a few people here who that is the case. A special welcome to you, a welcome to you who you're here for the first time. I know there's a few people who are just checking us out this morning, and this is the first time they've been to a service at all, online or in person. And of course, a welcome to all of you regulars as well. And I want to say particularly to a welcome to all of our special young people. And you know, this service is about Eddie and Hannah. Well, it's about God, first of all, but it's also about Eddie and Hannah. But actually, this is also about you. And we're going to be praying for you. We're going to be commissioning some of you later on in the service. And it's so lovely to have you back with us, because I think many of the youth haven't worshipped in a service together as well for a while. So a particular warm welcome to you. And lastly, a welcome to anyone who'll be watching online a little bit later on this afternoon or in the next few days. I hope you will just be able to experience some of the joy that I know we're going to experience this morning as well. The children are going to be in with us for up to the end of Oliver's dedication, and then they're going to go out to their groups with Helen. I'm not quite sure where they're meeting, just follow Helen out. We won't let them on the bouncy castle until later, but they are going to have some great fun. And the youth are going to stay in for all of the service to hear Eddie preach and to just see them be commissioned and see, and we're going to commission some of you. But I want to start with a verse that I read this morning. Not that yet. In the readings for today, it was this verse from Psalm 125, which I thought was really appropriate. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, or I'm going to rephrase that, as the hills surround Malvern, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. And as we come here to worship today, I want to know that we are surrounded by God. God surrounds us as we gather here. And as different people here are going to be going off to new pastures soon, you know, as you go, God surrounds you. Because God is a faithful God who loves you, who knows you, and who longs to walk with you. And I want to say, if there's anyone here particularly who, you know, that's not your experience, if you don't know God for yourself, I just want to invite you to be open today. And maybe God wants to meet you and just tell you just how much he knows you and loves you and wants to walk with you. So I'd love to invite you to stand, and we're going to say these opening sentences, which particularly talk about God's faithfulness through all generations, which is just a lovely phrase to be thinking about as we dedicate Oliver and as we particularly celebrate our youth and our youth ministry today. So let's say together, enter God's gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his holy name. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. And let's praise our faithful and loving God in the words of how great thou art.
Thank you.
And Father God, we want to say together how great you are. We want to just come and humbly worship you this morning and for you to be at the center of everything we do today. We thank you that you know us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for each and every one of us, that we might be friends with you, that we might walk with you in this life and in the life to come. And thank you that each and every person is so precious to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do take a seat, and I'm going to invite Eddie and Hannah and Oliver and Rachel and James to particularly come up, because we're going to dedicate this special little boy today, aren't we? Now, some people, some parents, Christian parents, will decide to baptize their children when they are little babies. And there's good biblical precedent for that. And others will decide to do a dedication and wait until the child wants to make that confession for themselves and then is aware of being baptized later, which others do. And that's what Eddie and Hannah have decided to do for you, Oliver. So one day we're hoping that actually there's going to be a big... Yeah, you're watching me, aren't you? A big pool of water, and that we're going to, when you're a bit bigger, we're going to put you down into the water and bring you up again just to show you that you want to follow Jesus and that Jesus loves you. Is that all right? I think that was a yes. Good. So we're going to do the dedication, and Rachel is Hannah's sister. That's right, isn't it, Rachel?
Yeah.
Great. And it's great to have James back, isn't it? James and Sarah back. It's so lovely. James, how's theological? Well, no, I won't ask you that in public. But it's so great to have you guys back with us visiting today. Do catch up with James and continue to pray for them as he's a year ahead of Eddie on his journey. So I'm going to find my words. So today we welcome the Edwards family who've brought Oliver to be dedicated to God, the maker of all things and the giver of life. In doing so, we follow the way of Jesus, who said, "Let the little children come to me, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." So let us pray, first of all. Let's all pray for Oliver with these words. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of children and for the Edwards family. May Oliver learn to love all that is true, grow in wisdom and strength, and in due time come through faith and baptism to the fullness of your grace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to have a few questions now. The first question is to Eddie and Hannah about how they're going to bring Oliver up, to be committed to bring him up knowing Jesus. And we had a good chat on Thursday, didn't we? I gave him a proper pastoral visit rather than just a business visit, which was really lovely. And we had a chat about some of the ways of doing that. So, Eddie and Hannah, will you do all you can to bring up Oliver to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ by your prayers, example and teaching? And will you seek only God's will for his life?
With the help of God, we will.
And we have Rachel and James, who are going to be Oliver's sponsors, stroke godparents, but the official Church of England title for a dedication is sponsors. And a question for you two as well. Will you dedicate yourselves to God, not only to pray and care for Oliver, but to live before him as models of faith, so that he may grow up to follow Christ as you follow him? Fantastic. And a question to all of us, and I think this is a really significant question, not just for Oliver, but for each child in our congregation. Because let's just have a look at what you're about to say. You're going to commit to living in Christ's truth as the family of God in such a way that Oliver and his generation, which is a lovely phrase, isn't it? Oliver and all of his generation may see him in your love for each other and hear, as just as they hear of him in your words. So that's what you're committing to, not just for Oliver, but for all the children and young people in our care here. So why don't you stand for this bit and then I'll let you sit down. But so will you commit yourselves to living in Christ's truth as the family of God in such a way that Oliver and his generation may see him in your love for each other, just as they hear of him in your words? With the help of God, we will. Great, you can sit down now. And we're going to do the act of dedication. I love it. Are you going to come with me? Oh, you're going to be brilliant, aren't you? And when we had a chat on Thursday, one of the things we were talking about together was about praying specific things for your children and seeking God as to what God calls us to pray specifically and uniquely for our children. And I was just praying for Oliver this morning, and just as I was praying, I was reminded of actually one of the things that you said really early on, Eddie, about what you wanted to do in youth ministry here. I was reminded of Enoch in the Bible. And Enoch comes in Genesis in the Bible, and it says, Enoch walked with God for all of his life. And I want to pray specifically, Oliver, that you will walk with God all of your life. Yeah. That's a yippee, not a cry. So let me pray that before we dedicate you. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you so much for special Oliver. And I want to pray that specific prayer for him, that he would be one who walks with you all of his life, that he never deviates from walking with you. And that as he walks with you throughout his life, he will be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And so as Jesus took children in his arms and blessed them, so now we ask God's blessing on Oliver. Heavenly Father, we praise you for Oliver and dedicate him to your care. Surround him with your blessing that he may know your love, be protected from evil, and know your goodness all his days. And Oliver, may the Lord bless you and watch over you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you as you walk with him through all of your life. Amen. Well done. I'm going to give you back to Mummy before you cry. And Helen's behind me.
And on behalf of everyone here and All Saints, we'd like to present you with these books, one for now and one to grow into.
Thank you.
So, that's lovely.
Is this
for Oliver? For Oliver. Okay. Well, actually, he's going to need you to begin with because, you know, he won't be able to read quite yet.
Should we just welcome Oliver? Helen is going to go out with any children who want to head out now. I'm going to have some fun activities if there are any children in the hall. We've got an overflow in the hall as well. Just everybody wave to the overflow. Oh, no, they can't see you. They can see me. I'm waving on their behalf. If there are any children in there as well, then do come up the corridor and come and join Helen. And as we just move into the next bit of worship in our service, we're going to turn our focus back on to worshipping Jesus. And we're going to sing a couple of songs. And the first song is Waymaker, which, you know, I first sang at Eddie and Hannah's wedding, which was a really special occasion. And we're going to sing that. And I want to particularly just encourage us as we sing these words to focus again on who Jesus is and what he's done and what he invites us into. Whether you know Jesus or not, be open to God meeting you in these words. So let's stand and worship.
You are here.
Invite us to really reflect and hold on to that, what we just sung there. You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You know, the amazing thing is that God sees all the rubbish and all the mess and all the times we just get things wrong. And he doesn't wag his finger like a disappointed father. His love for us is just the same. And he opens his arms and he welcomes us in. Just maybe while we're here this morning, as one of us, two of us, a few of us who just need to know that welcome, maybe we know that actually there have been things in the last days where we've messed up and where we've got things wrong. Just come to God and say sorry, knowing that actually God doesn't have the wagging finger, but he has the arms open wide to say, come back, welcome back my precious child, and know that he loves you just the same. Do take a seat, and Chris is going to come and read our Bible reading to us.
This morning's Bible reading is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. The Baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So Eddie's going to come up for his final preach to us for now. I'm hoping that we might get him on video from Cambridge in the next year at some point as well. But Eddie, you know, one of the things that I know everybody has really appreciated here, one of the many things, is your preaching. And you have amused us, you have taken us deep into the heart of God, and you've challenged us, and you've spoke just encouragements and reassuring words to us. And I know you're going to do the same again today, but let's pray for you now as you just speak. Lord, we thank you for Eddie's gift in communicating the heart of you to others. And I just pray that you would fill him with your Spirit right now, that your Spirit would speak through him to our hearts. May you open our ears to hear the depths of your love for us through Eddie's words. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dave.
Cheers.
George said in one of the group chats last night that the young people should stay in today because they'd show their appreciation and love for me. So I hope they still do after this talk. Appreciate all love. Either, really, would be nice. It's really lovely to be here today to celebrate Oliver's dedication and also to commission some of the older young people out as they prepare to move on to new things. And I do want to start by just saying thank you to everybody who's made it today and will be sticking around after the service for hog roast and ice cream, which is a vegetarian, lactose intolerant guy I'm looking forward to. But particular thanks to friends and family who've travelled, but also folks from church who've moved around holidays to be here today, and we really appreciate it, don't we, Han? Oliver doesn't appreciate it yet, but he will one day. I just want to share a really simple message to you today, and it involves really the biggest lesson that I've learned in my faith life since Oliver was born. Today we've dedicated Oliver, we're welcoming him, welcomed him into the church. For many babies, as Dave said, it's usually a christening where the baby is sprinkled with water and baptised into the church, but Hannah and I chose to dedicate him so in the future he might make that choice himself. In fact, Oliver might be really happy that he was born here and not in Georgia, where the Orthodox Church does things a little differently. If we've got a video to play, we might have. It's It's actually a baptism of 500 babies, so you can imagine the crying in this church as they've been very rudely introduced into the church. Instead, actually, we hope that Oliver grows up and will discover for himself the joy of believing in the Christian faith and decide one day he wants his own baptism. A little bit like this one, hopefully.
This morning, we have accepted Christ as his Savior and as his Lord, and he will demonstrate his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by willingly being baptized this morning. He's been waiting on this day a long time. And so, Jordan, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go, Jordan.
I really hope he's that excited. And we don't have a priest who's that slow. Never work with children, they say. Do it right. Dave did really well with Oliver today. It's that process of baptism from which our reading is taken today, a passage about probably the most famous baptism in history, the baptism of Jesus. Now, there's a load of things I could try and unpack from this passage. We could discuss John the Baptist's role. We could discuss the purpose of baptism in the Jewish faith of which John was a part. We could discuss why Jesus needs to do something which is supposedly a sign of repentance at that moment. We could discuss at length that this is a snapshot of the Trinity, the three members of the Godhead, Father, Holy Spirit and Son, all together in one moment in the Gospel. But what I want to talk to you guys about today are those words of God to his Son, Jesus, at the end. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The sentiments of a father to his child. This is my Son, whom I love. With whom I am well pleased. I've read this passage so many times, whether in study or in my own Bible readings, but these words have never made more sense to me in my entire life than the last 4 months since Oliver's birth. See, I can already stand and say to him as he sits there asleep, well done, good lad. Maybe I've set him off to sleep, I don't know. I can look at him and say, this is my Son whom I love, I'm well pleased. Even as he lies on his changing table smearing poo all over himself, or refuses to fall asleep at night, or cries in a nice restaurant so we have to leave. I love him. Oliver can't do anything for me, and ultimately he's entirely dependent on me and Hannah to keep him alive, yet my love for him is unconditional. And that's what I love about this passage, because its placement in the narrative of Jesus' life is so significant. The Gospels, the four books in the Bible which contain the life and teaching of Jesus, are brimming with stories. So many that John in his gospel at the end says, there's more stories, but I can't fit them all in. Moments where Jesus performs miracles like feeding 5,000 people with a boy's packed lunch, or giving a man blind from birth his eyesight back. It contains stories of him driving out evil spirits and throwing over tables in the temples and outthinking and outwitting all the scholars of his day. It contains his teachings on the kingdom of God, which turns our entire world upside down. And ultimately, it fulfills his final purpose, his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. But this baptism happens before any of that. At this moment, Jesus has done nothing of particular note. And yet God still says of him, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased. Jesus hasn't earned God's love. So he's not achieved anything outstanding to make him be pleased with him. God loves him and is pleased with him simply because he's his child. The same as I love Oliver and I'm pleased with him just because he's my child. And this is the lesson I've learned about God our Father, because you see, through Jesus, each of us here is a child of God. Paul writes in Galatians 3 that we have become sons and daughters of God through the work of Christ. So you and I, because of Jesus, are children of God. We are loved in that same way. The other part of this passage that I find interesting is that the words that God speaks are similar to the opening of Isaiah chapter 42. Now, the book of Isaiah is important because it gives us many predictions and prophecies about the Messiah, who ultimately Jesus appears to be and also fulfills more than. And so we have a comparison here. I can't see the screen. There we go. Between the two passages. So Isaiah 42:1 said, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. But here's the words of God in this passage. This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. What's key here for me is that there's a switch that happens with just two words, really. That servant becomes son and uphold becomes love. But it's so important. A servant is cared for, given purpose, but ultimately it's for doing something. A son, however, is also cared for, also given purpose, but simply for being who they are. So if we are indeed children of God, we are beloved by God, cared for by him, and given a purpose just because of who we are. Just because we're his children, not because of anything we've ever done. If we were just servants, then those things would be dependent upon us doing stuff for God, continuing to please him, continuing to remain useful to him. But instead of doing stuff to earn that love, it's the overflow of God's love that propels us forward to serve others, into ministry. The thing is that often in humanity we get this stuff the wrong way around in how we live our lives. And I hope now through a flowchart, very exciting, a flowchart, the classic preacher's device, to show you a little bit how this works. Some of you might have seen this before, but I saw it for the first time at a youth event when I was about 19, and it really affected me. So, it suggests that the start point in our lives is achievement. Our children and our young people, so many of you here today, are thrown into a school system where instantly you're taught that your future and everything you're going to do is all dependent on X, Y, or Z grades that you get in your life. More generally, though, our attitude is towards putting our time and our energy into making something of our lives. Now, once we achieve something, there's the flowchart starting. Love a bit of custom animation in PowerPoint. We begin to achieve, or this grants us significance. We find ourselves relying upon our achievements before, or the good things that we've done, to make us significant in the world in which we live. In fact, we begin to attach our identity more and more to what we do, what we've done well, and what we've achieved, and what we're good at. Now, this leads us into sustenance. What sustains us? What's our quality of life? Perhaps we've achieved a really nice house, or we can shop at certain supermarkets with 47 oils, like Barry talked about last week. Or nice holidays come our way as well. It's the substance of our daily lives which has come about because of both what we've achieved and how much significance this has given us. And then finally, by striving through and doing all this, we might one day find acceptance by other people or organisations. To give a practical example, you might decide you want to be a doctor, and therefore in high school and in university, you absolutely rinse yourself to try and get the near perfect grades throughout to make it to university to study that. And perhaps to stand out more, you put more and more work in, and you just empty yourself even more to become best in your class, and one day finally you become a doctor. And you proudly flash your doctor's badge around because it's a role which grants you significance within the world. And you start your work, and with a decent salary you're able to sustain yourself well. You get a mortgage for a nice house, you buy that nice car you fancied all the way through training, take out a membership to an expensive golf club where some of the other doctors go to. Finally, you're accepted, you've achieved your goals, and your colleagues, your friends, your family also accept you for having worked hard, achieving your role and having a nice life. However, the problem is that this is a cycle, because though you've now reached acceptance, you can't just sit on that. As you're golfing one day, one of the other consultants that's there says something like, in fact, one of the consultants, you have a nice car, but they've got a very nice car. Very nice car. One of them has just extended their house to fit a whole home spa inside of it. You've only got a garage. Whenever you talk about work, they say things like, oh yeah, I remember having to do stuff like that. Not anymore. And so you go back to achieving. You go and do extra courses alongside your work. You go and take on extra projects to get that promotion. And finally, you're a consultant of more significance than before. And once more, your daily life, your sustenance improves. Your house extension's built. You've not paid for it yet, but it's there. You've got nice holidays. Finally, you can be happy and accepted. But then someone else says, no, I won't go on. But the cycle continues. The Christian faith, the love of God, offers us a different way around this journey. And so in this, we have the same four aspects. But the pathway we take is slightly different, because you see, we start with acceptance. As I've said today, we are beloved by God, our Father. Through Jesus Christ, we are given status as his children. And just at his baptism, before any ministry, God tells us that he loves us. Now, because of this acceptance that starts off as the bedrock, we achieve sustenance. Our quality of life is not dependent anymore on what we manage to buy or which clubs we get to be part of. Our quality of life is based upon knowing that we are loved and accepted by God, the creator of the universe, and trusting daily in his provision for our lives and in the fellowship of believers. As Jesus said, who can add a day to their life by worrying? Now, this leads us on to become people of significance, because we become people who stand out in the world. Not just because of what we've done, but because of who we are. We're significant because we're living an upside down life. And an upside down life carries its own weight with people to see. And finally, through faithful obedience to God, we're drawn into achievement by him. In fact, the better word might be service. Knowing we are loved and accepted by God, nourished by him and filled with the things that restore and give life to our souls, God calls us, like Jesus, into active service and ministry for others. Jesus produced amazing fruit, but it was never to try and prove himself or to try and achieve acceptance. It was because he was already accepted. So too can we live lives of achievement, because we are already accepted and sustained, and we serve others from that overflow of that love. To return quickly to the doctor analogy, to turn it a little bit upside down, a young person might, trusting in their faith and knowing God loves them, sense that God wants them to become a doctor. And so they trust that God will help them in that journey and endeavour and sustain them throughout it. They go through school and university and they achieve significance because they stand out, because they're so different from everyone around them. Where there's anxiety and fear of failure, they are peaceful and trusting in God. They work hard, but they're not manic and emptying themselves of everything that they've got and burning out. Their peace is strange. And they're deeply fruitful ultimately as a doctor once they're qualified. And they achieve because they want to serve their patients. Their faith informs how they do this. They pray with them or for them if they don't want them to pray with them. They do their best to help them and to serve God and achieve in his kingdom through this. We all have an opportunity today, whether we're the group of young people preparing to step out into the world, or whether we're a bit older or wiser, if we prefer that word. We can choose to live that first cycle, which some might call the cycle of grief. We can choose to live in the second cycle, which is called the cycle of grace. Many people here I know have already chosen to live that second cycle. Sometimes at different stages in their life, and the difference is just amazing. To live in God's love for you and to allow that to overflow forward from you. To not strive for achievement to prove yourself, but to strive for achievement because you're moving from a place of acceptance with God already. If you remember nothing else from this talk, or in fact from my whole time at St. Andrew's, you might remember nothing, but it's okay. I really would ask you to remember that one point from today, that God loves you. That he is well pleased with you. And that the message of the gospel, the invitation of Jesus, is to live in this cycle of grace. That by knowing God's incredible and overwhelming love for us, we can go forth and serve others and achieve incredible things for God. Knowing that first and foremost, our identity and our needs and our hopes and dreams are all found and sustained in the one who made us. Let me pray for us, if that's okay. Father, we just thank you for that wonderful picture of a father's love for a son. That before Jesus did any of his important or significant work, that you were already saying, "This is my son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." Father, I just pray for us this morning, for any of us that need a reminder of that. Lord, that you love us, that you are well pleased with us. Not because of any one thing that we've ever done or any achievement we've ever made, but simply for being who we are, for being your children. And Lord, would you fill us with that love so that we may continue to go out from this place whether we're going off to apprenticeships, to university, to gap years, to other opportunities, or whether it's just in our daily lives, that the overflow of your love for us would become overflowing love for others whom we serve. Just bless each of us this day, we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Eddie. And just before we rush on, that's reminded me of something else I should have said to you two on Thursday that we did with our children when they were younger. And that is every night. And my tutor at college, when I was training, taught me this. Every night when our children were younger, they don't let us do it quite now, but they might do one day, is we used to go to our children and just with our thumb mark a cross on their heads and say, "You are my beloved daughter, with whom I'm well pleased. You are my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased." And I invite you to do that with Oliver. But I just invite all of us to receive that now too. Just perhaps close your eyes and just imagine God, Jesus, whoever it's most helpful to imagine, coming to you and standing before you and just marking that sign of the cross on your forehead. And hear his words to you. "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased." And I think that's a great place to move on to our last bit of the service, really, which is about commissioning people. First of all, commissioning our young people. So I'm going to ask all those young people who are moving on to new things, whether that's apprenticeship or a new school or university or a gap year, just to come up here now. And Eddie's going to come up and as his final act as youth minister here, he is going to commission you and pray for you. So would the young people be brave and come up? And I think it would be great just, first of all, if we just, particularly for those people who don't know some of them, or perhaps some of you don't recognise them anymore because they've grown a foot since you last saw them. But could you just say your name and could you say what you're going on to do?
James, and I'm going to be doing a gappy job at a prep school about 40 minutes down the road.
It's Sahar. I'm going to University of Exeter Medical School to become a doctor, but from the other route.
And I just say, isn't it lovely to have Sahar back? And you know, Sahar's story started here. Sahar's story started here with a phone call to Eddie, and I remember that morning. And what an amazing story. If you don't know that story, I'll tell you afterwards, or Eddie will tell you afterwards, or Sahar, even better, will tell you afterwards.
Well, I won't be too long, but yeah, it's when I came to Melbourne, like, I wanted to find a church to just explore Christianity. I didn't know anything. And I found All Saints, and there was Eddie's phone number in there as the youth group's leader. And I just phoned and I said, "Can I come to church? Will I be accepted? Because I'm not Christian. I'm coming from a different background." And he welcomed me as the first person there. You know, it's just so special now being in your service, Eddie.
I'm Beth, and I'm going to University of Sheffield to study psychology.
I'm Peter, and I'm going to Health and Worcester group training to start an apprenticeship in welding.
So, guys, do take your masks off to speak. Peter, do you want to say it again? I think people might not have.
I'm Peter. I'm going to Hereford and Worcester group training to start an apprenticeship in welding and fabrication.
I'm Ryan, and I'm going to Worcester University to do a top year to get my degree in computing.
I'm Sophie, and I'm going to the Chase sixth form.
Hello, I'm George. I'm going to be doing a gap year.
I'm Eloise. Where are you doing your gap year, George?
No, we'll do that later. We'll do that later. That's coming.
I'm Eloise. I'm going to the University of York to study English.
I'm Ez. I'm going to Chase sixth form.
Great. And Will also, we can pray for Ed's brother who's going to do a gap year just down the road. At the Elms? The Elms. Eddie, over to you.
Surprised you all came up, to be honest. Well done. It's progress in itself. I've just got a few words that Dave put together, and then I'm going to pray for you as well. But as a form of blessing, that as you all move into the next stages of your life journey and move to new front lines to serve Jesus, we want to encourage and bless you and show you our commitment to pray for each of you. And as we do this, may you know God's promises for you, which are these. In Joshua 1:9, God says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, me and Dave promised beforehand that we would keep things together in the service. So I'll try and say something now, but if I start, like, stopping, you all know what's happened, all right? I'm just incredibly proud of each of you. I'm proud of all of our young people. And it's been a massive privilege to be part of their journey. But believe me when I say that wherever each of you are going, you will make a huge difference to people around of you. Because each of you are wonderful people. You are loved by God and you love other people because of that. And you serve other people and you're willing to do things for other people. And I just think you're amazing. And I love you all. And this church will be praying for you, and we know it's a praying church, and they may not know all about you, but God knows all about each of you, and he knows all of your potential and all the things that are ahead of you. And I just believe that you're going to do amazing things in each space that you are in. So let us pray for you now. If we want to stand, folks, if you want to reach out your hands, if you feel comfortable towards the young people to join in prayer, that's fine. But if we can just stand, let's pray for them if you're able. I kept it short because I didn't want to cry. Right. Father God, we just thank you so much for each and every life that is represented here. Father, we want to thank you for your faithfulness in their lives, that one day in the past, perhaps most of these, depending on their journeys, were in a similar situation to Oliver today. A tiny baby welcomed into the church of God and now stepping into new things at this time in their lives. Just incredible that you do this generation after generation, Lord. But Father, we as a church just want to pray blessing on this group, Lord. We want to pray for your strength. We want to pray for your wisdom for these young people. Lord, that they might be wise in the ways of God. That they might know your love in their lives, each and every step that they take. Father, we pray that whatever their experiences are going forward in the difficult moments, that they will know your peace and your presence with them, that in the good moments they'll be able to celebrate your joy with them. That, Lord, that they might know that as we pray as a community from a distance, that you are always close by and with them, and holding them close to you. And so, Lord, we just commission them. We just pray for the wonderful things they're going to achieve wherever they go. That through you, they may do more than they can ever imagine. than that as we hear stories about what they're doing and what they're up to. That they are walking faithfully with Enoch, that we might be excited and encouraged by the testimony that they give. So bless them now, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Do all of you head back to your seats apart from George? He's going to stay up here. Everybody else can sit down. And we're going to just commission George particularly to one of the roles he's having in his youth ministry, in his gap year here. So George is, from this week, Thursday's his first day, I think, going to be starting as our youth and children's intern for several months. He's not going to be the Eddie replacement. We can't quite manage to just expect George to do everything that Eddie's been doing. I was thinking, what could we hand over? And I was thinking perhaps we should do a symbolic handing over of the bow tie. But George is going to support the children and particularly the youth ministry and do a whole range of things which we'll talk about at another time. But we're going to just commission him now into this new role. And first of all, I'm going to just say these words which invite us to just reaffirm our commitment to supporting children and youth, and particularly youth in our churches here. So a message to all of you, and then Eddie's going to take over, and then I'll take over. So the work of the church with children and young people is the responsibility of all of us as members of God's family. You know, that's really important. It's not just, has not just been Eddie's role. It's all of our responsibilities. And so will we, as the people of God here at St Andrew's and All Saints, continue to prioritise our work with children and young people and support this work with our prayers, our finances, our time and our resources. With the help of God, we will.
And will you, George, as our new children's and youth intern, be committed to growing as a disciple of Jesus, being faithful in prayer and worship and Bible reading, and being open to the Holy Spirit's leading?
With the help of God, I will.
And will you be committed to nurturing, supporting and encouraging the children and young people of our churches and communities to grow in faith and follow Jesus for themselves?
With the help of God, I will.
Will you seek to model Christ-like character and servant leadership, relying on God's strength and resources to equip you for this role?
With the help of God, I will.
And so, people of God, will you pray for, support and encourage George in this role? With the help of God, we will. So, George, come here. George is also going to be, just say what else you're hoping to do this year too.
Hopefully I'll be able to go to Australia come January, February kind of time. But I'm really looking forward to doing this internship and seeing what God does here.
So George will particularly be working on a Monday, Thursday and Sunday, won't you?
Yeah.
And doing a bit of labouring on a building site in between. So George, let's pray. George, we commission you to this work and pledge to you our prayers, encouragement and support. May the Holy Spirit guide, strengthen and empower you to fulfil all that he's called you to do as children and youth intern here at St Andrew's and All Saints. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, George. More from George. And finally, we're going to pray for Eddie and Hannah and Oliver and commission them. So up you come, you three. And those people who are going to particularly pray for them, can I invite you to come and just lay hands and pray? And I've invited a few people who particularly have been important on their journey, and particularly with Eddie on Eddie's journey, but also Hannah's, to just come and pray on our behalf.
Father God, what an amazing family they are, and what a blessing they've all been to us. Father, it's been a privilege for Debbie and I to call them our friends, and I thank you, Lord, that you've planted the spirit of friendship into them.
I thank you for the gift, Lord, of humour that you've given them, the gift of good parenting, and the gift to listen to and respond to your Spirit's prompting. And as you guys go into the next season of your lives, I pray for more of all of these things. And may Christ go before you, Christ be above you, Christ below, and Christ within. Amen.
Lord, I just want to bless this couple and a blessing to me to know them both, Lord. And the thing that I've really learned, particularly from Eddie, Lord, is the gift of time. He just gives time. He's given me time. He's given members of my family time. He's given people time. As though he's got all the time in the world for us, Lord. And I think in that, Lord, he is your faithful servant. Allows us to have a glimpse of your love, Lord. And that is a wonderful thing. In your name, amen.
Dear Lord, we commit the more to you as they move home to Cambridge. And we just pray, Father, that you would be preparing friends for them there. We think particularly of Hannah as she settles in with Oliver. I pray that you'd give her like-minded mums to draw alongside and be encouraged by. And I thank you so much for the blessing that they've been to this church and this family. And we will miss them dearly, but I pray, Lord, that you'd help us be committed to praying for them as they settle into their new home. Amen.
Lord, thank you so much for this amazing family. They came 3 years ago and they have absolutely touched every single person here with their amazingness, their amazing talents, their amazing skills, their amazing everything. They're just absolutely incredible. And Eddie, you've touched every single youth person here with your kindness, your helpfulness, your like-mindedness, your time. And you have just been such a blessing. And your hospitality as well, especially for George and I, you guys have just welcomed us in so much. And you've already invited us to Cambridge, which is amazing. And we cannot thank you enough for what you guys have done in this church, especially with the youth, but also with everyone else here. And a thank you is not even enough. So thank you, Lord, for bringing them here and changing everyone here for the better. Amen.
Father, we thank you for this lovely family. And it's been a privilege that our paths have crossed. Well, crushed together, really. And Lord, we just thank you for all that they've done and that they've been. And Lord, we know that this next step on the journey is going to be a challenge, but it's going to be a wonderful journey with you. And Lord, I just pray now that the joy and the freshness that they exude may continue and that it may overflow in their time in Cambridge. And I just feel God says, continue to always preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. Amen.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the steadfast love and faithfulness of the Lord to surround Eddie and Hannah and Ollie. In the name of Christ. Amen.
We're nearly there. They're just going to hover here for the last bit, which they don't know what we're going to do. We're going to do all the speeches and everything later on and just share some thoughts. So do come along to lunch, which will be happening outside as soon as we can get set up. Hopefully the pig is roasting. Shouldn't say that in front of Eddie. And the bouncy castle is inflating. And if anyone here hasn't realise that that's happening, then please stay. You know, there'll be enough food to go around, there always is, and we'd love to get to know you and meet you and for you to join in the celebrations. But a few things, very quick notices, just to say is that Alpha is starting on the 15th of September. The really exciting thing is we've now got four Malvern churches involved in doing this together at Cowley Road Coffee House. Alpha is a course to explore the Christian faith if you're wanting to find out what it's all about. And it's also a great course to do if you're wanting to go over the basics of what the Christian faith is and you're wanting to just affirm what you might believe. Colin, who was up here a minute ago, standing over there, not the really wise one who finished at the end, but the one who was standing next to him, is heading it up from here. And do chat to Colin. More details on the mailing and the leaflets. We've got a load of bereavement events particularly coming up that are on the notice sheets and on our leaflets. Do particularly get involved with those or pass details of those on to anyone who might be interested. Our autumn leaflets are out, and I'm hoping that you'll be given one on the way out, hopefully to people in the hall as well as people in the church. But more importantly, we would love those to go out this week, and we're delivering them by hand, so please collect a bundle on the way out there. If you live in All Saints Parish, the All Saints ones are coming down for lunch, and you can pick one of those up there. But please do help us deliver those and get those out into our community with some really important information on to invite people in to come and encounter God themselves from our community. There's also a men's breakfast coming up on Saturday, 8:30, Wetherspoons, as normal. Men, you're all invited. It'd be great to have you come. That's the notices. We're going to finish, if musicians could come up, by singing the blessing. And what we're going to do for this is, I'm going to invite Eddie and Hannah and Oliver, and they don't know this yet, just to hover here at the front while we sing the first little bit. And then just to walk down the aisle through us as we pray blessing over them. And then to go down the corridor and into the hall to go and see all the people who are in the hall and allow them to sing to you and to bless you with that as well. Is that okay? And we'll meet you outside at the Bouncy Castle in Hogroast. So why don't we stand? And this is like a wedding, isn't it? But you've got your wedding, but with Oliver now.
Oh,
So may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you. All those who are staying, all those who are moving on, all those who are visiting, now and forevermore. Amen. Just one other thing I need to mention as you're heading out is that we've got a card and some bits of paper if you want to write a message to Eddie and Hannah. That's on a table outside. Do go and do that at some point this afternoon, and we'll then give the card at 1:30. So it's food, bouncy castle, crazy golf, hog roast, fellowship. Enjoy each other's company. Speeches will be about 1:30. Let's have a great celebration. Thank you for coming.